And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Let's continue our conversation about designing a life that matters for college graduates. And for insight, we didn't have to go further than a walk down the hall. We're broadcasting live today from the University of Sioux Falls. The SDPB studio is here. Joining me in the studio now, Reverend Dennis Toom. He's Dean of Chapel at USF, and Ashley Maturin, Assistant Dean of Students at the University of Sioux Falls. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we want to hear from you, too, our listeners, if you have questions for Dennis or Ashley or comments on the last caller that we can expand in this conversation. Send us a text, 956-SDPB, or an email inthemoment@sdpb.org. And let's start with some of the initial thoughts, Ashley, as you listen to Dave Evans talk about how things are at Stanford. Let's bring it back here to South Dakota and talk about how things are here. What stood out?
Yeah, I think for me what stood out specifically when he was discussing having a place to have a conversation, students need that. They're on a much larger scale than we are. So for our students, I feel that they do have a place to have that conversation in that they have very close relationships with most of our staff and faculty. And so I know personally, in my role, I have those types of conversations a lot, getting to the root of what students are asking and questioning what they're going to do after graduation. And we're able to question not what job are you going to do, but what do you love about the thing that you're studying, or what, again, asking their passion, but a lot of people don't have a specific answer for that. But just what do you enjoy? And let's try to navigate from there.
How intense are those conversations? Are you having them frequently? Like, how is it a sort of burning, painful moment of suffering for kids who are getting ready to graduate?
I would say yes. It's burning and it's painful, and it is a lot of spontaneous things that happen. When you have a open door policy, you get a lot of people charging into the office suddenly with a crisis du jour. But that's, I think, why people in a smaller school, anyhow, get these relational components that you can't always get in some of the bigger contexts. But those conversations get intense really fast, and then they can get distracted really quickly, too.
Right. Are there themes that you notice that sort of have changed over time, or is it, you know, kind of always the same sort of thing? Like, what do I do next? I'm worried about the real world. My parents or my family might not understand what I'm going to do next. How do I explain it to them? Those seem to be commonalities, are they?
Yeah, right. I would say over the past few years, I've had a lot of conversations with students where they say, how do I justify that I was a history major? How am I supposed to justify that I was an art major? And so again, that's where we go to those conversations about, well, there's a multitude of options for you. And Sioux Falls is a fantastic place for students. And so we encourage them to get involved in the community. So it's teaching them more life skills. And we're having conversations about how to use other skills, not necessarily related to your direct major, that are going to be beneficial no matter what you're doing. And so that's where, you know, when Dave was talking about the experience and getting out and having conversations with people who are doing what you think you want to do, that's vital.
Yeah. Reverend Toom, I want to tell you, we didn't get to mention with the author we talked to earlier, but he actually has a graduate diploma in contemplative spirituality from a theological seminary, along with some of the other paths that he's taken. So let's talk a little bit about not just thinking, what do I want to do next? Where's my job going to be? How am I going to pay the rent? But what kind of life am I going to live? What kind of person am I going to be?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I didn't know that, and it makes sense, because as you were speaking, I was thinking of this 19th century cleric, Thomas Chalmers, who I wrote it down here as he was talking. Chalmers said, the grand essentials for a happy life are something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. And when you bring spirituality into this whole thing, that is really critical. So the idea of the biblical tradition of wisdom seeking is always learning from those conversations that you have. So a lot of what he says is really steeped in a theological worldview that says, yeah, I need to learn from my elders. I need to have conversations with them. And again, the culture shift is, You know, I grew up in the 60s. I'm the same age as this author, which is interesting. You know, but coming from that having watched the older generation where they were thrust into adulthood by 18 or younger, and had to deal with things, and now we're dealing with the whole phenomena of the extended adolescence, where people are 35, just now maybe getting married, or 40, and we have these extended childhood issues in a culture that's obsessed with play and recreation and extreme sports. Some of these issues are not always ready. We're really not addressing them in a very realistic way. Spirituality would hopefully bring us down to talking about these things and learning from the conversation with our elders.
We want to hear from you too this hour. 956-SDPB is the text number, or in the moment at sdpb.org. What's stressing you out right now as your student is graduating, or as you are graduating? Give us a call and tell us where you're at, or maybe you're marching into this successfully. Ashley, do you think this sort of culture shift is changing the workplace as well? And you find students who are searching for what comes next that has requirements that maybe they didn't have before, where they want a manifesto and they want a foosball table, or you know, whatever the equivalent would be. I'm being flippant, but where they really want a work environment that's different than what I would have looked for, you know, when I was looking for my first job.
Absolutely, I think we can see that just in. I mean, I'm pretty aware of what goes on in Sioux Falls and different, new companies that are coming in and offering work environments with, you know, you're being kind of facetious, but literally foosball tables and,
that's a thing.
You know, happy hour on Friday and things like that. And I think our students are looking for that freedom and fun in the workplace, and which is, I think that's fine and acceptable, and there's a time and a place for that. But I'm 27, but I'm probably a little bit old school for a 27-year-old. So I like structure and professionalism in the workplace. And so I think a super important thing that I try to teach students and remind students is to have a good work ethic and come in. And it's great to desire fun, but that doesn't take the place of hard work. That comes after the hard work. And sometimes that's in the midst of it too. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you are wherever you're going to work. And so that's important to remember. And I get young graduates in my staff positions with my resident directors. And we talk a lot about, you know, my training has definitely shifted. I do spend a lot more time training basic professional, you know, what to wear, how to answer the phone professionally, things like that. So those are the skills that, even though they're coming out ready to do some things, some of those basic things I'm not seeing anymore.
The phone has to be huge.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could be 18 and never have answered a phone.
Right. Yeah.
But yet there's still a phone on your desk at your new place of work, because they haven't gone away in the rest of the world.
That's right.
That's right. I was thinking, Dr. Seuss's The Places You'll Go.
Right.
We really need a reworked version of that. I remember a student telling me one time, I want to go to a place and work. I want to work for them as hard as they'll work for me. Well, that's not really necessarily what's going to happen. The idea of you're special and you're going to change the world. This generation believes that, but so did mine, and we found out it isn't quite that way. But I think this idea of getting away from this idea of you know all the answers, you got it all figured out, and I'll go out and change the world is really not what this author is getting to. He's saying have the conversations, learn from other people. I like what he said about try to identify the problem and think through this. One of the great problems of youth is you think you've got it figured out. And it's really sometimes really hard working with students that I think Ashley and I both say that to try to get them to actually be open to the fact that maybe they don't know as much as they know.
Hmm. That brings us to the role of parents, because we were all 18 once, and we immediately go back to where was I when I was 18? What sort of decisions was I making? I was in the Marine Corps at 18. So a totally different experience than what my child will have, you know, going off to college. Ashley, talk about the role of parents and how are they still very much involved in a student's life in college? Should we be? Or should you sort of put the hands up and say, you know, it's time for me to back off and this is a safe period of transition for my student?
Yeah, that's the question, I think, yeah. That a lot of parents ask. And we spend a lot of time, you know, when we're kind of onboarding our new students, orientating them, we have a specific parent orientation where we say, we are doing everything in our power, yeah, to equip your students with what they need and to equip parents to know that we have a host of resources here on campus to help them with the problems that they will face. So when your student calls home, encourage them to come talk to someone at the institution where they're attending, because we've got it and it's going to be okay. But we can't do that if a parent, you know, it's much harder when a parent calls in and says, you know, my student has this issue. And I say, this is the first time I've heard anything about this. We would love to navigate this issue with your student. But I'm actually going to have to talk to your student at some point. And so it's much better if the student comes in and learns how to have those tough conversations on their own. Because that's real life, that you're going to have to do that at some point. And now is better than later.
We're going to take a quick break and come back for more of this conversation with Reverend Dennis Toome, Dean of the Chapel at USF, Ashley Maturin, Assistant Dean of Students at the University of Sioux Falls. And we still want to hear from you. So stay in the moment, SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking this hour about life after college graduation, sort of launching young people into adulthood, and maybe some of those conversations that we all have throughout all of our life about what the next stages are. My guest today at the University of Sioux Falls, Reverend Dennis Toome. He's the Dean of the Chapel here and Assistant Dean of Students, Ashley Maturin. And let's start with Ashley, we left off with these resources that the college has, you know, for students to come, the open door policy that Dennis mentioned. Once they're out the door, although I'm sure that you would love to see your students come back, you know, there's more students coming up, so it might not be an open door for life, and right. They've moved someplace, they have a job that might not have those resources. How are colleges really preparing students to get past the, you know, it's finals week and here's the therapy dog to help you get through it stage of living?
You want to take that one? I love
yeah.
that.
It's true. We do actually have therapy dogs during finals week.
And I am pro-therapy dog. I have to say I have participated in, I mean,
they're pretty great.
I have a dog, so I'm not criticizing.
Yes.
I'm just saying that might not be what happens when you start your corporate career, for example.
It's very true. And that's why we continue to encourage students, just like Dave said, to make connections and to make sure that you have individuals, plural, I would encourage, who are mentoring you throughout your life, because you're going to need mentors socially, emotionally, you know, in the workplace. I think it's just great if you can have people who are going to pour into you and be a resource when you do have questions, because you're not going to have it all figured out. And I think, just like Dennis was saying earlier, you know, students rush out into the world thinking, this is going to be great, I'm going to get this sort of job, and it's all going to happen for me. And when it doesn't happen, that can be pretty earth-shattering. And so that's why it's so important to have connections in place. And so I think the big thing for students is to be relational, and it can be easy to isolate and have a individualistic mentality and a champion mentality. I can do this on my own. And it's okay to not do it on your own. We tell students that a lot. It's okay to ask for help. We all ask for help. And so knowing that, going out into the world, that's, I would say, one of the most important things.
One of the things in the book, Design Your Life, that we didn't get a chance to talk with the author was this notion of option prison, and how the fact that in college and high school you have a lot of choices, and then at some point you have to let certain things fall away. So athletics might be a good example to start with. You know, you go, you know, you play baseball when you're five and you're still playing college ball, and then you go off and maybe work in education or healthcare. What happens next? Dennis, you want to talk about sort of letting some things fall away? That
Yeah, it's more of an issue than ever because we are so organized with sports and orchestra and all these things that starting at age five or eight, and now suddenly you're a senior in college and you've played your last game or you've done your last concert or you've been in your last play. And there is a grieving process that happens. And a lot of times we don't give people the time to grieve. And there's, especially because sports in particular or band, it has become so consuming. The commitment that a high school freshman has to make for band it's going to be a major part of their life. So now suddenly you're out of college. You don't have that anymore. Not only is a student grieving, the parents are grieving. The parents who had videos of the eighth grade all-star team, and they're still at the fall scrimmage. I was at our spring scrimmage this last year, last spring, a couple weeks ago, and I'm seeing parents with their cell phones videoing a scrimmage, the spring scrimmage, and thinking, wow, they're going to have a hard time letting go. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that, what we don't talk about enough is the 5 years after college. Being a father of three sons, 37, 37, and 31, watching my sons after college has been phenomenal. To watch, you know, our brains don't reach maturity till age 25 approximately. And what does it take for that person to make that next step? And some people walked out of college with a great future behind them. They were great in college. And then they didn't know how to make that adjustment. and part of it was vocational. Part of it was economic. They're walking out of college with $30,000, $40,000 worth of debt. Part of it is they just made some bad choices about spouses. You see some of that happening. And a lot of it is just now that I'm out of college, now I have time to process stuff in life.
Right. Huh. As a parent, what have you learned about during that phase when you were watching your children hatch after college that you'd like to pass on to other parents?
Wow. It's a holy journey. That life after college is that where they start to have that conversation of, gee, I really hate my job. Now what? And, or the other one who says, well, there was grad school and there was this step and that step. And sometimes you walk out of certain college degrees and it's all laid out for you. Med school, education, some of these things are very laid out. But in other things with a business degree and trying to find out what you do and don't like, it is, again, what I like about what this author says in this book is this importance of having conversation, reframing issues, learning how to problem solve in a very real world context. I am thankful that my sons had grandparents and had good friends, that they had a circle of people to talk to. And like Ashley's pointed out, in our increasingly individualized culture, a lot of people just do not have, they have a lot of Facebook friends, but do they have deep soulmates that they can really start to share these struggles with? If we can, perhaps the great task of college is helping people learn how to form communities and choose well.
And you can do that if you've left your hometown to go to college.
Absolutely.
But it's not a deal. This isn't a lesson that says stay close to home necessarily, although there might be advantages to that as well. There's also advantages to taking a journey.
Yeah, I moved from Houston, Texas to come here. I was a student at USF. I knew absolutely no one the first day that I moved onto campus. And now this is my community. This is where I've met my best friends. This is where I've created relationships with coworkers that have moved on but are long lasting. So you can absolutely start over, in a sense, and create a community.
Did you learn that skill at USF?
Absolutely.
That you still apply now. So you had a good enough, obviously you had a positive enough college experience here to want to make a career here, at least for now.
Yep.
What kind of parenting helped you make those transitions?
I think, well, from the time I could speak, my mom made me order food on my own. You know, we would go out to eat, and I was a little, you know, three-year-old and ordering my McDonald's Happy Meal on my, all on my own. And that might seem trivial, but, you know, we're coming back to the phone answering. I mean, in my household, we answered the phone, you know, hello, this is the Madurin household, Ashley speaking. And so that was just, there were little things like that that I think my parents instilled in me and encouraged me to go off to camp on my own and encouraged me, you know, to try new things and to be bold. I played, I think, 9 different sports when I was a child. Like, I tried everything. If I said, I think I want to do karate, my mom said, great. Right. Let's give it a whirl. And so she just instilled in me this adventurous sort of personality. And so nothing was off limits. And that was awesome.
I think one other thing real quickly is just what I've known about Ashley.
30 seconds left. So, yeah.
The ability to suffer. Suffering is a part of life. And if we don't learn how to suffer, we are in for big problems.
I love that. Let's end with that. The ability to learn how to suffer, learn how to be in community.